Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at teresagreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Manny.
It's always nice to see you.
I know. It's always so nice to be here.
Ready to call?
Yeah. We call the next one.
What's her name?
Tamron.
So Tamron has interesting work that she does. And so I don't want to spoil it because she's going to share it, which when she told me all the things that she does, but and what she used to do and what she does now. So she's interesting in the sense that, you know, she's doing something, you know, I would say in a totally different arena from the work that she was doing before. So I'm actually curious as to how she's following her passion and maybe what she believes her purpose is too. I know it's hard to get an outside line.
I know. You think she'll...
Hello, Tamron?
Teresa?
Hi, is it okay if we talk on here? I was having a hard time grabbing the landline.
One sec. I got to put my headset in. No I don't problem. Know if I'll be able to hear you, so hold on. Okay, can you go ahead? Let me make sure I can hear you.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm just going to turn it. Yeah, okay, so you're not going to use the landline then?
No, because I was dialing, but it wasn't coming through to you. Like, it just was not catching the line.
Oh, that's strange. Okay, all right, nope. Well, I'm fine with this.
No, it's just, I know it sounds strange, but we're in a building and it seems to, where we are in the building, seems to have trouble with outside lines.
I think next week we'll start using paper cups and strings.
Okay, well, as long as you guys can hear me and the audio is fine, I'm fine.
Yes.
Yeah, it's okay.
We could totally.
Okay. Yeah, whatever works.
Thank you.
Okay.
So
I'll just restart.
Okay.
Tamron, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Teresa. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
I'd like to introduce to you my co-host, Manny.
Hey, Tamron, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. We're having a roll today. We have a lot of shows happening today, so it's good.
Yeah.
We're in the groove.
Fantastic.
And we're having fun. That's what counts. Yes. We're having fun.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Tamron... You shared your a bit of your bio with me, and so I was intrigued in particular about the work that you were doing before and now the work that you're doing today. So I think, I don't know if, which I want you to share the work that you were doing before, because I was like, oh, that's a really interesting job. But then the work that you're doing now is also a very interesting job. So I can't wait for you to share that with the listeners today. Sure. And I'm just, my curiosity around that is that maybe it'll come out in what you share, but, you know, are you following your purpose and your passion now? Where you felt maybe, you know, with the work that you were doing before, you really, you know, you, I don't know if you liked it or didn't. You can, you know, talk about that.
Yeah.
But if you didn't, you know, what brought you to the work that you're doing today? So if you want to share that with us.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's an interesting question. So right off the bat, I feel like I want to address, I loved being a private investigator. And that was in my 20s. So I think I was around 23 or 24 around the time when I took the plunge and went to a private school and became certified, and I was able to land a job right away.
Wow.
I loved it. I also feel that now as a certified astrologer, it really is the same work because a private investigator, you're a truth teller. You know, you're always seeking for the truth. You're wanting to serve and protect. And now that I'm a certified astrologer, that's exactly what I do when I study someone's astrological birth chart, is I'm seeking their truth. I'm guiding them to help them align more with their destiny so that they feel more fulfilled. Because a lot of us are being called to take action right now. Like, I honestly believe as an astrologer, the global lockdown wasn't a virus. It was a spiritual awakening where more and more people have been forced to step into making decisions where they're now a lot happier, regardless of what it is that they're doing. Because it is about what we, you know, how we wake up every day, you know, excited to get out of bed and go out and do whatever it is that we do. So I love being an investigator. I stopped doing it for many reasons because, you know, I actually married my boss. It's a long story, small business, but we were dating before he hired me. But, you know, when you want to have children, you can't go to a sitter and say, yeah, can you take my kid in? I don't know what day I'm coming home or when, you know, that just doesn't happen. So it was, you know, time to be a mom. And that's why I stopped doing it. But I did love it because I felt like I was being of service and, you know, finding the truth for you know, the clients.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been doing the astrology work that you're doing?
Actually, it was the same type of story where just before the global lockdown around 2019, right around January, I actually, I was searching something online on YouTube because I'm a YouTuber. I love YouTube. And I found this video and it was a Vedic astrologer and he was talking about a class, but I can't remember the name of the class, but it caught my attention. Great marketing on his behalf. And I was like, what is this? And I found it so fascinating that he really spoke to me about, you know, different astrologers, you know, can offer different types of readings, different styles. But he focused on wanting you to understand, you know, why you kept repeating patterns. And that's exactly what I was going through. So I just kept watching videos. And then when the global lockdown hit, literally, my intuition just said to me, I have to become a certified astrologer. I don't know why. And I actually managed to scrape enough money together over the initial summer lockdown. And I enrolled in school in September. And as I became an astrologer, like even the students were coming to me for advice. And I launched a study group within the school. I had permission from the school. And it was very clear in my own astrology birth chart that I had to have been an astrologer in an end of lifetime, because astrology is like a language, like it's symbols and signatures and it's an interpretation. So it really is, you know, a secret language, and it just comes easy to me. So when I look at someone's chart, it speaks to me and I'm guided on where to interpret the information. So I love it. And it's just another tool in the toolbox to help people, because now that we are in the age of Aquarius, I don't know, people, you know, have heard the song, you know, Let the Sunshine In, you know, Age of Aquarius, you know, that song that came out in the 60s.
Yeah.
We are in the age of Aquarius and the virus triggered that. The global lockdown triggered the age of Aquarius that we're in. And what the age of Aquarius means is that we are more and more people globally are making decisions based on their heart. They're heart-centered. They're speaking their truth. So a lot of people are saying, oh, yeah, I left this marriage or I left this job. Well, yeah, they did, because they're understanding that their time matters here. And we have to value and live a life that's more fulfilling and filled with love, rather than being told who we need to be, because that old patriarchal system is coming down. And so the age of Aquarius represents compassion, empathy, and equality. And so more and more people are embracing that. And that's why we're seeing this massive change on the planet. It was destined to happen because we're in the early stages of the onset of the Age of Aquarius. So it's a beautiful time to be on the planet if you look at it from that perspective.
So I got a question for you, Tamara. I'm just curious about, because I can only assume you probably know this more than I do, since the pandemic and since everything went on and how everything was handled for selfish reasons by people that shouldn't have been doing it, there was probably an increase in separations and an increase in people changing their paths of life and focusing on themselves instead of what they had already currently going on in their lives. And I guess my question to you is that, how can we disregard the obligations that we committed to already just to seek our own happiness, or we feel that we need to go down this other path, but we're turning our back to what we already committed to?
Well, I think that's for some people. I wouldn't say that is for everybody. So if that's what you're seeing, then I think it is about finding the balance. But, you know, I think I'd, from my own personal point of view, I think I'd rather be honest with someone about the choices that I'm making and being why and being truthful to myself so that I don't live without any regrets, rather than living a life where it is not what I'm destined to do and it doesn't make me happy and I'm not speaking my truth, because then you're just asking someone to shrink. So, you know, if you're committed to something, then, you know, maybe people can find the balance between, you know, fulfilling that commitment, but still having an opportunity to pursue what it is that they want and what they're passionate for. So, you know, there's different ways of looking at it, but I think when you're being honest, that's always, it's always the best way. I mean, yeah, it can be hurtful, but at least you can say, you know, at least I told my truth.
I understand that part, but I'm trying to figure out, if you got people that committed to each other in a relationship that turns into a marriage, that turns into a family, and then one person that's in that marriage decides that this is not my destiny, this is not my path, even though I did commit to these, and now I've got children to raise, and now I don't want to be with the significant other that I'm with right now, because I see myself going down another path. It's not really all that simple. Well, for me, it's not. Like, I don't think it's so cut and dry where you just ignore the obligations that you already committed to at a certain point in your life. That
yeah.
Now you
oh,
want to
I
change your
that.
Mind, right? You want to change your mind and go, listen, this is not what I'm meant to be. Whether that's truthful or not, or if you're being honest with yourself, I get that. But I think the decision to change the course of your life's direction still is being impacted by the children that you've created and the husband wife that you've committed to.
And yeah, just, I agree.
Yeah, that's what I'm just trying to, because I'm just seeing that a lot more people are just, okay, I'm not happy here, so I'm going to go there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's, you know, different ways of looking at it. I am divorced myself, so I can speak just from my own experience, but you know, there's two parts. You know, you made a commitment to be with a person. I can understand, you know, people for whatever reasons, you know, they want to have a different partner. Maybe their relationship didn't work out. But when you have children, that's a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I've seen a lot of success stories where people may not be married anymore, but at least they're responsible towards their children.
For sure.
And they can balance out the time and share the time, and it's in a healthy environment and the kids understand why. I mean, that's two different parts. But I think if you're just talking about people just generally in a relationship and there's no kids involved, I'd rather be honest and say, you know, some people try, some people go to therapy, some people understand the reasons why they committed weren't healthy in the first place, that they weren't being honest, you know, at the beginning. Maybe they had peer pressure, maybe they had family pressure, maybe there was financial pressure. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people say yes when they really didn't want to, you know. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of factors, but I think that you're right. I think that regardless of what it is people choose to do, that you still have you have a responsibility to the people that are involved in your situation.
Yes.
And you can't just walk away from your responsibility.
For sure.
But I agree with you in that I think COVID was that time of awakening for lots of different reasons. I think that there were structures that were not functioning well before, including in people's relationships, right? That, you know, people were coming in and out, like, you know, let's say, you know, I have events, I have parties, I have networking things, whatever. And partners were not seeing very much or spending very much time together. You know, even parents with their kids are all always in these activities and they spend very little one-on-one time with any of them, and then all of a sudden people were forced into their homes and to spend 24 hours together. And it was like, what the heck? I used to use my job as like an escape from you. I used to use all like, you know, sporting events and parties and whatnot as an escape from you. And now I'm forced in the same space. And so I think that for some people during that, during all the lockdowns and that time when our, you know, it was thrown upside down. Lives were thrown upside down. People, instead of going to work outside of the home, are now inside the home, and, you know, for all the different things. And so I think it's interesting that from an astrological perspective that, you know, which we don't often think about, but because of the work that you're doing, that there's like maybe reasons behind why people are starting to ask questions of their life, of like the relationships that they're in, the jobs that they were in, that I know a lot of people did not go back to the work that they were doing before because of, you know, whether they were laid off, whether, you know, they weren't happy anyways, right? So then maybe they took up other things during COVID. And so, I mean, for me, I was having the best time. And I think those people that were all, were doing well before the pandemic were doing extra well. And then those that were not doing so well before, I think it just brought it all to a head. And so I just think that was interesting when you shared that, oh, you know, there's something bigger than us. And our last guest was talking about that too, about, you know, the thinking that there is something grander, you know, whether you want to call it God or source energy or the divine or the universe, whatever word you want to use, that is at play and, you know, is orchestrating things in such a way that I agree with you that can help us, if we choose, to move closer in the direction of living our true selves and the life that we actually came here to live instead of the life that we're stuck living because of like certain choices that we made.
Oh yeah, I absolutely agree. And I've seen that too. Luckily for me, I've seen more success stories, you know, because I've connected with people and even a client I had last night admitted, like, I didn't realize how miserable I really was, you know, living the life I had, you know, pre-COVID. And it was during COVID that she had to make some big decisions. And she's so much happier now. And it's fascinating because other people look at the choices she's made from the outside and they view it as she's taking, you know, a step down and, you know, doing something that looks as prestigious to someone from the outside. But on the inside, it's very fulfilling to her and she's doing it her way. And she's so led up. And she's never been happier. So again, it is about the perspective. And of course, those people aren't really seeing exactly how she's, you know, working every single day and what she's actually doing. But to her, that's, I said to her, yeah, but to you, you're the one that knows the truth. And why worry about the haters and the naysayers? They don't know what's going on in your life. They're just seeing it. So, you know, but I mean, she's just turning 60 and she's finally feeling happy. So yay, all the power to her, right? But it took the COVID experience to help her make those decisions and to not go back to the life, you know, she had for so many years.
Mm-hmm. And now how fulfilling is your work for you now that if we talk about, you know, cultivating and connecting and tapping into our inner happiness, how do you find some of that within yourself?
Oh, I love what I do. I've always been in jobs that I found I enjoyed. I may not have been in the exact location or the experience of something, but I think one thing astrology has taught me is that, you know, a lot of times we think we're making decisions and yet there is a part of us that is always guiding us to, you know, maybe always be in some area or expertise or something. And even though we might have a different title, it's the job or the career that we're actually implementing based on our skill set that is actually the core issue that's at play. And I think for me is understanding that regardless of what I'm doing, I am definitely a people person. I do love to serve. And, you know, that is one of the components. I do like to be in an environment where it's very small, like not like big corporations, you know, more one-on-one conversations, small group conversations. And I've just always been someone that regardless of what I was doing, I just enjoyed connecting with the people that, you know, I work with or who are in my environment. So that was always my strength. And to understand that now that I'm later in life, that, you know, somehow, you know, mm-hmm. there are certain things that I did. I love doing it. It was just maybe not the place or the company or whatever. But deep down, you know, the reason why I got up every day was, you know, is because I did enjoy it. And I think now as an astrologer, what makes me fulfilled is to know that I have the tools and the skill set to look at someone else's chart and say, you know, I think if you spent more time doing this, which has nothing to do with your career, it is about where I see if people spend more time, there's a secret a message in everybody's birth chart where, you know, it will fulfill them. It will make them want to get up every day. And it really doesn't have to do with how much money you're making. And that's one of my favorite things to share with my clients. And it's not what a lot of astrologers focus on because everybody's different. Like when you say you're an astrologer, it's like going to a GP. You know, you're just going to get general information. But if you have an astrologer like me, and this is what I focus on, is, you know, helping entrepreneurs, and I want them to step into their destiny and claim their confidence and their self-worth. And I want them to feel more fulfilled. So it really is about finding that balance for entrepreneurs, because even in my journey of entrepreneurship and doing different things that I've done over the years, I think my strength was also my weakness where, you know, I worked too much and I was a workaholic and did all that. And I didn't see what I was lacking. And so my astrology chart really showed that for me. When I saw that, that was like a light bulb moment. And I thought, that's what I want to share with other people, because it just helps you find that balance so that you get that equilibrium, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So just a couple of things from me, Tamara. I hope I didn't come across your desk when you were at PI. My name.
Sorry, what did you say? I hope I didn't what?
I hope I didn't come across your desk when you were a PI.
Well, I don't know. No. I mean, we're talking 20 years ago, so I don't do it now.
Yeah, the only funny story that I have attached to that would have been someone that I was dating, and her ex was kind of harassing, calling me and stuff like that. And then it turned out that he was following me at some point. And then he started describing the vehicle that I was driving. And I was like, dude, you're out to lunch. Leave me alone. And then I quickly realized that I was actually driving the vehicle that he described because I had an accident and I had to get a rental, and the rental was what he described. So that's a whole other story. Yeah. That's the extent of that kind of thing. But I guess I don't know if you can answer this question about astrology, because the more people that I meet women wise and dating wise, they're always telling me which ones align well with me and which ones don't align well with me.
Right.
Is there any insight there?
Well, I'd have to look at your chart. Okay. Right? So I'm not a psychic. I don't just, you know, and you know, I don't see things. I actually literally take people's astrology birth chart information and I study it. There's a way to interpret the information. So there's a lot of quote astrologers out there, but if they're not certified and if they haven't yet specific training, I'd stay away from that. You know, what you call horoscopes, and you see people making little videos on TikTok.
Yeah.
No, they're pretty cheesy and they're very basic.
Okay.
So an astrology consultation is you study someone's chart, and it does take a couple of hours, and then you have to sit down with the person I use Zoom, you know, and explain to them what it is. So for me, I have a five-step process. So I focus on areas where I think it's important for entrepreneurs to understand these aspects about themselves, because we are not just our sun sign. So when someone says, oh, I'm an Aries or I'm a Gemini, that really doesn't mean anything. And some people come to me and say, I'm an Aries, but I don't feel like an Aries. And why does everybody hate me because I'm an Aries? I'm like, well, probably because, you know, you don't know enough about your own astrological birth chart. So you want to look at where someone's moon placement is, because that talks a lot about their emotional disposition. And then you want, I love to talk about their Mercury placement, because Mercury is the information that speaks to how your intellectual mind works. So that's like your strategy, your logical mind. And if you're an entrepreneur, I think it's important that you understand how you're going to have a strength in your business, because you could be a great manager, but, you know, you're not successful at other things. So there's 12 different placements, right? And then I love to talk about Saturn, because Saturn is where it's the school of hard knocks. It's where we get knocked down in life, but it's there to teach us lessons. And then I love to talk about the placement that helps people feel fulfilled. And that's, to me, that's the secret sauce. So I do private readings. I do small group coaching classes. And I also do private retreat levels. So those are like 3 months. But the one thing I will say, if you are working with a certified astrologer, if they're good, your hair will stand up. You will feel validated. You will feel understood, and you will you'll have a better understanding of why you're here. Because from my perspective, we're not here to buy stuff and die.
No.
I look at it as we're here to learn an individual spiritual lesson for ourselves, and that's going to play out in your life over and over until you finally get it. And then when you gain that type of spiritual wisdom, then you're at that stage in your life where you're ready to pass down that knowledge. You become the owl, right? Like you become, you know, you're the teacher. So that's why I love it, because most people look at me afterwards and they're just like, that just blew my mind. Again, it's because, you know, you're working with someone who's certified.
Tamron,
does that answer your question?
Yeah, totally. No, and that's what I was expecting, because it is not so much as just like cut and dry. Here you go, black and white. That's not how it works.
Not at all. Yeah, no.
So it was good to hear that.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you for being on the show today and sharing about some of the energies that are at play here on the planet that and how those affect, you know, the lives that we're living. And I'm going to ask you to share your personal information with me, or your business information, where we can put it in the show notes. So if people want to contact you to get some of that information, they can.
Absolutely. Well, the easiest way to do that is I'm a YouTuber. I don't have a website. I've got a lot of things that I'm going to be working on over the next 6 months, and doing some and work and presenting some trainings and masterclasses and coaching programs are a little bit different from the past. And my intuition was always just stay on using social media. So I do put a lot of my weekly videos that are also on Rogers TV that go across Northern Ontario. They're on there, and everything, even my free masterclasses or anything that I'm offering, it always goes up on YouTube. And that channel is called Inner Lights Academy TV. And I do have a free masterclass on there right now, and it's under the playlist for the 2024 Inner Lights Academy masterclasses. And if you are an entrepreneur, that free masterclass is called Shine Your Inner Light. It's 40 minutes, and it's 5 steps to align your business model with your astrological birth chart. So in that masterclass, it is a review of the 5 steps that I talked about today in the interview, and it goes into a little bit more depth. You hear my own personal story a little bit, and of course, there's a free gift for everybody if they stay until the end, and that gets you connected and in touch with me, and then I can keep you updated on other events and things that are happening inside of my own business model.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, guy. All right. Take care. Have a great day. Is she still there? Or did we lose her?
Thank you, Tamron.
Thanks so much, guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. That was interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wanted to just pull out something else that you talked about, that science has shown that when we are familiar with our strengths, that it helps us to feel more excited, energized, and happy. And so it through the work that she does, but not only through hers, is more about checking in. Because when she said that, it had me reflecting on my personal strengths. And when you're in touch with that, because then she labeled some of the things that make her enjoy her work. So at that point, it's like, it doesn't matter what work we do, as long as we're using those strengths in the work that we're doing. So she said she knew that she always loved working with people. So someone who says, I know that I really love doing work outside. I know that I really like to work with my hands. I know that I like helping others. I know that I have this creative side that allows me to, I don't know, do gardening or landscaping or cooking or whatever, however you express your creativity. That when you can reconnect with like the reasons behind maybe why you got into the type of work that you're doing. So somebody that has been doing work for a very long time can start to hate their job.
Of course.
And so one of the strategies that you can do is to say, how does this job allow me to use the strengths, the things that I'm good at every day at work? And when you can go back to the reasons behind why you got into construction, you know, whatever trade you might be in at the very beginning, like maybe you fell into it, but then you kind of stuck with it after you did. And what were those reasons behind? What strengths do you bring to your job every single day that allows you to enjoy what you're doing? And if you haven't thought about what those strengths are and how your job facilitates those, the use of those strengths, because it doesn't matter what work you do, as long as you're able to bring those aspects of yourself into the work that you're doing, can help to kind of like reinvigorate you at work to say, you know what, my work's not that bad because I get to hang out with really cool people and I like to do this and that. Oh, my work's not that bad because I get to use my hands.
Yeah.
And I'm really good at that. My work's not that bad because, again, you're bringing certain aspects of yourself. So if I think about one of the jobs that I have, that I'm an educational technologies consultant. So I work in different schools and I work with students that have special needs. And I only do this twice a week. But I think about why, and they have, and my pay remains the same every September, which is not great. It's disappointing
for
me. And that's what it is, right? So I'm like, what is it about me and what I bring to the job that I really love? The job provides certain like aspects of it that I enjoy, but what is it, what strengths do I have that I'm able to exhibit when I go to work? And so it's that I find fulfillment, right? That I'm good at, you know, all, you know, different things pertaining to that job. But when I think about how I'm able to actually like display and illustrate those strengths, that's what makes me feel happy and fulfilled. So think about, I invite people to think about the things that they're strong at and how the job that you're in helps you to use those strengths or use those gifts every day. And if you're, and it's very possible you're not finding that fulfillment at work because it's actually not tapping into your strengths.
I get that. I'm still trying to wrap my head around, Tamron, and like, I think you probably know that I don't know enough about astrology and the connectivity.
None of us do.
Like, and so when I was listening, when I was listening to her, I was like, I can't really form an opinion just yet about this. But my question about regarding obligations And we know this through just history and stat-wise. You know, it's over 70% of women are the ones that are calling for a divorce, right? They're the ones that start the ball rolling. And I bring this up because it's happening with a lot of listeners of mine. Now, obviously, I've got more of a male-dominated listener base, right? So I'm hearing it from the male perspective. And these are men that don't want to get a divorce, but the woman is deciding, I want a divorce because this is not my path in my life. So she did say some things that connected with some things that have been expressed from the women that wanting the divorce. But like our parents and other generations before us, nothing was perfect. Things were difficult and people didn't necessarily get along with each other, but they had obligations associated with raising that family. They committed to somebody to raise a family. Like she said, it's a different ball game if this is just a relationship versus this is a marriage and this is a marriage with kids. So it's not so easy to just say, listen, I'm not who I'm being in life right now, so I need to get out of this marriage and I'll still work with you about raising the kids and everything like that. So I just don't know enough to start forming an opinion about. Mostly women are deciding based on things that they discover they shouldn't be in this situation anymore. They need to find happiness somewhere else. And my question, I guess, would be to her, I'd be curious to know how much men. And I'm just going to make a guess here. I bet you the same ratio of women that are calling for a divorce is the same ratio of men that don't buy into this. You know what I mean? So if it's over 70% of women are calling for a divorce, I bet you it's over 70% of men that are not understanding this astrological kind of path. So I don't know if there's connections there or whatever. So I don't know about that. I understand there's universe. I understand that there's, you know, there is certain things that happen in life that, I still, as I get older, I swear to you, like I've had conversations with people that I've met in construction. I've had conversations with people that I've met in through film production, everything like that. And we start describing where our history paths came from. And when you add it all up, you start realizing we literally cross paths somewhere in time. I know that for a fact. But at the moment that it happened, you didn't know who the person was. The person didn't know who you were. And you wouldn't have been paying attention to kind of acknowledging that this person is going to be a prominent figure in your later years in life. And now you finally connected and you're like going here. I'm pretty sure, Teresa, you and I have crossed paths. I feel confident. And that has something to do with the universe, right? So that's the extent of my astrological kind of mindset where it's like, You need to meet certain people in life for a purpose. But the thing is, maybe at the time that you first crossed paths, you weren't ready, they weren't ready, or together you weren't ready to actually start this relationship or start this friendship or start this conversation. And so later on in life, you start meeting that. And I think it takes experience and life and being older to start realizing, hang on a sec, let me pay attention to this that I'm being pulled towards or pointed in direction-wise. And so I think that's where I kind of listen to what she's saying and I understand where she's getting, but I get frustrated with, you know, mostly women, and I'm not trying to piss them off right now, putting their hand up going, I don't want to be in this marriage. I don't want to be in this family. I don't want to be in this house. I want out. And then I my mindset is I'm an old school guy. There's obligations. You made a commitment at some point in your life. You can't run away from that commitment. You shouldn't run away from that commitment, right? So, and your argument is that I need to be happier. Well, we've talked a lot about on the show where happiness is found within. So just you moving your house or moving the significant other in your life, maybe that's not going to find you the happiness. Maybe you're the problem. Mm-hmm. Like we have to find happiness within ourselves. So you can't keep on trying to change the facade of your life, everything around you, thinking that it's going to make you happier when the true answer is within you. You need to be the one that's changing. So maybe if you change, maybe your husband and wife would be better. Maybe your family would be better. Maybe the house that you are living in is enough. Maybe you don't need, and I agree with her. We're not put on this planet to buy stuff and consume stuff. That's not the purpose of why we're here. So it's too easy for a lot of women, and I'm not trying to piss them off, to just put their hand up and going, I can find happiness somewhere else. So I'm going to leave this situation.
I want to say thank you for expressing that because that was me. I mean, we didn't even plan this, but that was me, that I was in the low point of my life, that I felt that everything, all of the, like, the different areas that you pointed out, I had problems with. I had problems with my relationship. I had problems with my work. I had problems that I felt that it was like, again, life was happening to me and not for me. And it was me that had to change. It wasn't the people around me. And I will say that the work that I did internally, it's like, and I still almost can't even explain it, but magically, it's like all of the problems that I had outside of myself all went away. And changing location, changing job, changing partner, it doesn't change what's going on the inside. I, like all of us, assume that the outside is like the problem, and the outside is supposed to provide the happiness that we're looking for. So I thank you so much for bringing this up, because the happiness, as you said, is not found in your partner, not found in your possessions, in your positions, your titles, degrees, relationships, experiences, and appearance.
It's right there. It's right inside you.
Science shows that it's not found in any of those in places. For example, in our appearances, mm-hmm. that people think, oh, if only I get the boob job, if mm-hmm. only I change my nose, if only I lose 10 pounds, if mm-hmm. only then I'll be happier. Well, you realize, and science has shown, that people do the plastic surgery and they're not all that happy, because what really has to change is what's happening inside of us. And it was like the dark night of the soul. That's like, you know, a statement I've heard, and that if you're really not happy with that many aspects of your life, it's like you're the problem. It's not the outside. And so that is where, as I said, I had to do so much inner work, and the work had me doing primarily these things: loving, respecting, and honoring myself. That I actually was dishonoring and disrespecting myself when I allowed people around me to disrespect me, to dishonor me, that I felt like it didn't matter what I did, I was never good enough for other people, that people were always shitting on me, telling me that I was doing something wrong, that I wasn't meeting their expectations, that I was not good enough. People were always complaining. And I'm like, oh my God, here I am living my life trying to like please everybody, and yet I'm never any good. And so it was like, I really needed to tap into the love, peace, and happiness that I am, to be able to heal the things that were like missing or lacking within me, so that I could show up differently. And as soon as I started to show up differently in my life, all of a sudden, my husband was like that much more helpful. He was that much more loving.
Sorry.
No.
I didn't mean to make... No, sorry.
But this is the truth.
No, and I agree with
and
you.
And the people that I had issues with, yeah, all of a sudden weren't demanding, weren't argumentative, weren't expecting a whole bunch of things from me. I was like, wow. Before, if I just said, I'm not going to do that, it was like you were shitting on me all over. And now you're just like, oh, okay. I'm like, how is this happening? How is, like, as I said, magically, how is the world around me? But we have to, this is what I came to realize, that our outside world is only ever mirroring our inside one. So when things are like chaotic on the outside, it's because they're chaotic inside of me. And when all these people outside of me had problems with me, it was because I had problems with myself. First, I wasn't loving myself. Yes. I wasn't accepting myself.
Yes.
I wasn't at peace within myself. And as soon as I started to do all of that inner work is when all of a sudden, literally magically, everything on the outside changed. So it's the truth.
I just bring it up because I'm seeing it through the male perspective, and I'm seeing the separation starting to happen. I'm seeing the divorce starting to happen. And I'm just bringing it up because I think that if a lot of, and I'm not trying to pick a fight with the women here, if a lot of women just looked internally first, I don't think the separations would be there. I don't think the divorces would be there. I think the numbers would be dramatically less. And then, because the men don't want to go. The men want to stay. The men want to be a part of this. They're obligated. They're committed to it. They want to do this. They want to provide. That's that we know it's a masculine trait. That's what it is. So it just like that. I'm not, she's a great person. And I agreed with some of the things that she was saying. And I'm grateful that you brought her up. And I'm totally 100% grateful for you. And I'm sorry that you started getting so emotional about this. But that's what you've taught me. Like, I didn't discover that on my own. That's what you've taught me. You've taught me that if I want to change my scenario, I have to start doing it first. Do that, and I guarantee you, like, we all know, you walk into a room and you smile, other people react differently towards you. You walk into a room and you're frowning, and you're upset, and you're angry, and you've got shoulders that are tight, people are going to react to you differently. So you have to fix you first. Do that. And then start realizing, hang on a sec, is the life changing because I'm fixing myself first? And if it is, then keep working on yourself first and keep moving forward on that. And the alternative is that you're going to have to deal fine. We're all human beings and we can actually work it out somehow and we can all be good co-parents, right? But what if you don't have to go down that path? What if you actually stay as a family and you work it out and you first work on you, both of you, man and woman, man and woman, like whatever the relationship is, whatever the marriage is, it doesn't matter. But I think people are too quick to not pay attention to you first. Do that, exhaust that, and then consider other. But yeah. I think people don't do that first.
No, because we're conditioned to point fingers at everyone around you and say, if only you were different, then I'd be happy. This is what people say, right? But when we point fingers like this, we have three fingers pointing back at ourselves. And it is our responsibility to make ourselves happy. It is. It's not your spouses, your friends, your family, your work, your colleagues.
They're there for the ride. They're along for the ride.
And like I said, I don't know how it happens, but it's like magically, as soon as you get right on the inside, your outside world starts to reflect that. And I was shocked and still even shocked to today, because I've been on this journey for over 10 years, to say, how is it that when I started showing up differently for myself, my world on the outside got better? And things just improved without, I never told my husband that he needed to be different. And yet he started to show up differently with me when I started to change on the inside.
He felt it. He felt it coming from you, right? He probably saw something, and not saw something, he felt something. And that's a different path to take, right? So it's like you don't need to tell somebody, you need to let them feel it and discover it on their own. And then that's how it's going to change. That's just...
I mean, everything's energy, right? Yeah. So as you said, he felt it. So. He felt something, and it's because because we can't see energy, right? So it's possible that's the missing link. But I appreciate you bringing that up, because that is really the truth. And working with someone like me, for example, can help to do that inner work.
That's the thing is people do. Like I said, I wouldn't have discovered it unless I had a conversation with you, unless I kind of fed off of you, right? So it's like people need to consider, okay, so life isn't great. Everything around me is not great. But can we please look at the center and just decide, wait a minute, hang on, is it starting from there? Or is it really the outside? And I don't think it's the outside. I think it's starting from the center. So if you started focusing on that, and we've heard it from other people that have been on the show, I've heard it from other people that have been on the regular show, like they started focusing on them first, and then they started seeing changes around them. Yeah. And because you know what? That's exactly what happened to start the problem. You were changing internally. You were not becoming the person that you wanted to be. And then it was being reflected and projected onto your outside surroundings. And they were reacting to that.
Yeah.
So if that's the way that it got damaged, then that's the way that it's going to get repaired.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. I appreciate it. We have to wrap this one up.
And
we have
another one.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I think that's it.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Bye.